I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 146 of Digital Divination.
Hello.
Hello, Jason. And unfortunately, Ron is a little under the weather today, so yeah. Is not able to join us virtually or otherwise.
Has it been raining a bunch up where you two are? Because it's been raining like all weekend down here near Portland.
I mean, so I'm kind of in a rain shadow, so I only get
okay.
Ron drove up here. We had our game. Well, speaking of space games, we started mission to the Barrier Peaks today.
Very nice.
And Ron's DMing for us. And he said he drove through a big rain squall. So I know there's some rain, but it was clear and partially sunny here. So.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Not so much. Yeah. But, yeah, so... Speaking of space games, which we hadn't spoke of them yet, we're going to talk about the Starfinder Afterlight. The Kickstarter just opened up last week, and they actually had a media event the week before that I was able to go to and get some information. And so I thought we'd talk about that and kind of share what we learned from that.
Sure. Yeah. It was way too early in the morning for me. For us on the West Coast, so I didn't go, but I you know watched the Kickstarter trailer and watched it get funded in 80 minutes.
Oh, you know that's the funny thing is I knew it was coming out and I actually didn't go check out the Kickstarter till today. I'm thinking, okay, I should go do that. Then I see they had a whole bunch of so it was like up to I think it was like 500,000 when I looked at it today.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of early, like limited things, like name a PC or name a NPC or name this or have this in there. That was, you know, kind of. But there were only like six of them of those, you know, in various categories.
Yeah, they did not do very many of those.
Yeah. And I thought,
I know someone was like, "Yeah, put your cat in the game."
Yes,
I saw that. People are gonna. Yes, that's so good. That's such a good idea.
I know, but they should have had. I guess you only can have so many cats.
It's, you know, I guess it would get a little repetitive if, like, there were 25 cats randomly in the game. And, the you know, it's more work for them to, like, digitally. Well, you go to the cat level on Epsilon Station, and it's all just cats. And it's more, you know, the more cats they decide to put in the game, the more work for them to digitize portraits and
do whatever that's they
need to do. You know, so but, they're, I think they did a good idea.
They could have had a whole bunch of, like, Patra NPCs, though, named after cats.
Yeah, it's true. they did two rounds of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, three rounds. Wow. Okay. That's cool. And then, like, it's apparently, like, it'll be a cat that you can adopt from a shelter on the space station or in the hive market that goes on your ship.
Right.
As a little pet companion, which is cool.
Yeah, so they in the media event they kind of shared a little bit about themselves, about the story, about the game and why they were doing the Kickstarter. So I thought I'd talk about that. They also shared all their voice actors that they have for the main characters, which I know you're a voice actor connoisseur, so. You'd have to speak more about that.
Tell me.
I'm not an expert in that. So, I went to this media event. There were 38 people on their Discord where they kind of showed it. And I didn't know you could do those sorts of things on Discord. So now I know it's kind of cool, you know, where you can have a broadcast audience and stuff like that. And the game itself is going to have a full release in 2027. But early access in 2026, so if you back it at a certain level with a Kickstarter, you'll get beta access in 2026. It's kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It'll be released for PC via Steam, but they said down the road it'll come out on GOG and a couple other places as well that do that. It's based on the Godot engine, which I was not familiar with.
I think it's Godot.
Godot. Oh, French.
Yeah, I think. Yes, it's more French, yeah.
I think
that's I've only heard of it. I have never like attempted to use it or anything like that because I'm not a programmer by any stretch.
But they mentioned that it's designed for smaller 2D games, but they're going to try to use it on this. And the game itself is a 2D game, not a 3D game. Their company itself was founded in 2023. They have about 30 members. They're all remote. A lot of them based in Barcelona, other parts of Spain.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to do a story-driven CRPG. And so they were kind of looking around for a property to do that. And they were really excited about Starfinder because they are tabletop RPG enthusiasts. In fact, several times throughout the presentation, they talked about how they've been playing Starfinder first edition for a long time, playing Pathfinder second edition, been playing Starfinder second edition now. In fact, they've been working with the Starfinder design team since a year before release of second edition. So this game has been in the works for a while. And what they're really, really looking to do is to make an epic adventure that has humor in it, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's not just dystopic, like a lot of like Fallout.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that's kind of a lot of stuff they're talking about, and they're going to have an original story, so it's not going to be like Owlcat Games where you know it's based on existing things, and they wanted to do that. I think to be able to create all their own characters rather than using Iconics. And locations. And though they still use, you know, the main pack worlds, like the adventure starts on Akaton. It's based out of the Hive Market and stuff like that. So the basic premise is that your character, along with a helper guide, I know Captain Collie, who's the previous captain of a crew, you witness the afterlight where all light has been extinguished, like in the galaxy. And And I don't know how you witness it and if it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know if you're like precogs or a vision or.
Yeah, I think it was you get. I heard you get a vision of the future. Yeah. It's just something you're trying to stop. It's a prophecy or what have you that you know is coming. So you've got to stop it before it does.
Right, and so they have you have a series of companions that you can use, and the whole campaign is designed around building bonds with those companions. So it's a single player game, and you can play it by yourself. Or with mercenaries, or with mercenaries and companions, or just companions. So they're trying to make it so a lot of ways that people can play it.
What's the difference between a mercenary and a companion? Can you just hire someone who doesn't have a personality?
I think that's probably what it is. They didn't go into that, but they discussed it. The companions themselves are trying to make very memorable.
Of course.
Yeah, they've already kind of displayed four of them. So, like Cole, who's a Vesk soldier, and Cole's family wants him to become like the next great general of the Vescarium, and he wants to be an action hero, basically like the Schwarzenegger of the Vescarium, and that's
how he's
voice acted. And then there's Tycho, who's a Yosoki, looks like a mechanic. I don't know all the classes,
He's an operative.
He's an operative. Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently he's been a great inventor and had created a new invention, and it was stolen by a previous partner. And so he's very interesting. Yeah.
Oh.
There's Lou 323, an Android envoy who apparently has been stored in a warehouse for a very long time, kind of in stasis. And all they could do was watch dramas on the infosphere. And so how they talk about things kind of comes from what they learned in the dramas there.
Fun.
And then they have Sterling, a Bori Solarian. And, you know, you can hear some of the voice acting in some of the videos. And they mentioned from the voice actor, they wanted somebody who had a really kind of a Kingsman kind of flavor to how they talked.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. And it kind of makes sense with the name Sterling there.
No, that makes sense.
It's turn-based combat, which they showed an example go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, there's one other like companion that they haven't like introduced in any like videos, but it's on the Kickstarter for the and they don't know, we don't know who the voice actor is.
Oh,
for
yeah.
It, but it's the Shirin named Preach, who is a, and they also have a little larva apparently.
Right.
So the, you know, proud tradition of your Shirin mystic with their baby alongside, and yeah, they're, you know, doing the healing thing. So.
Right. Yeah, they didn't talk about that, but I noticed on the Kickstarter that was like, if you get a certain level, there, you had something with the larva you could get. So I didn't.
Oh, I think, yeah, maybe there's like a little
larva key or something that said like that.
Larva, yeah, some little guy. the sacred larva die.
Oh. And
whatever that means.
Anyway, so they showed some of the gameplay. In, it's turn-based, and I don't know, did you it was in the Kickstarter video, did you see some of that? It was Sterling fighting some robots.
I don't remember much about it. Yeah, that looked familiar. That did sound familiar. That was cool when you said it was 2D, but it kind of doesn't look super 2D in some places. It looks a little bit like that 3D 2D,
right?
It does have like depth in it. There's walking around here it is, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering that, like isometric almost, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the it's like third person how they're doing it. So it and so it's pretty well done. I was
it looks great.
And the fact that it's 2D means it's a lighter load in terms of processing. So quicker actions and movement, that you don't have the same 3D rendering time, right? For the engines have to use, which probably means it's a little bit quicker to program as well. They said they had the main game already done, and the Kickstarter was in the Q&A that had, the Kickstarter was going to help them basically flesh out more companions and to get voice actors for basically everybody all of consequence.
Yeah, more voice acting and more ancestries for your character. It looks like they opened up the 100Ks. You can play Skittermander now. Hooray.
Yeah. So it looks like it's going to be pretty good when it's at launch. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
And I just backed it today.
It's good, good, good. I mean, the whole early access thing, Baldur's Gate 3 did that whole early access thing for a couple, for at least, I think at least a year, maybe even like longer. And it came out, you know, just sort of like I think, you know, I did hear that they were saying that they wouldn't do the same thing and like have people play a little bit through some of the story and get some feedback on the story ahead of time, so that they can tweak it and make it even better for the final release.
Yeah. They said they're very much inspired by, Larian in Baldur's Gate 3. And, so they're big fans of that. And I imagine that they're going to try to replicate a lot of the really cool things that were in there, the replayability, the companion interactions. Yeah. One of the things they said is that, like, your companions, depending on how you treat them early on, their responses to you over time will change. So if you've pissed them off or you befriended them or whatever. So in the video, they show an example of where you've kind of ticked off Lou, and they kind of have her dialogue. And it's funny because they refer to Cole and Tycho as a duo, and the big guy and the little one and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you got to have a big guy, little guy.
Yeah, so.
Big, tough guy, little guy who's good with machines. Classic duo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, obviously they had a little bit more than that, and there were a lot of Q&A, but just trying to hit the high parts of it.
Yeah. Did anyone talk about, I just noticed on the Kickstarter too, is that they're going to release the game with mod support. Did they talk about that at all? Because that is huge, I think.
Yes. They said they were really into modding. And so that's something that they wanted to make sure had available.
Because that's not something you can do with the Baldur's Gate 3, because that's too, right. The models are too complex and whatever. But in a sort of a simpler 2D models, you could probably do the mod support. Like ages ago, there was the Neverwinter Nights game, and that had build your own dungeon. And it was like you almost had to learn programming a little bit to get it to look good and level making and stuff like that. And I looked at it for like a day once, and I was like, this is too complicated for me. I don't want to get into this right now. But for the people who do, it's going to be like all this stuff is going to be, maybe even someone's going to take it, do an old Starfinder adventure path and program it all in there, put in new monsters, whatever comes out with the Alien Core, maybe, or, just create their own. Because, Starfinder 2E also comes with plenty of mod support
right.
itself.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. I was one of the people that got into modding for Neverwinter Nights and played a virtual world where we had hundreds of players engaging. And that was kind of the neat thing about it is that now here, this is only single player. So maybe if you mod it and set it, like I hosted a server where other players could come in.
I wonder.
So maybe that's something might be possible down the road. I don't know.
At least, I mean, we're talking like maybe if they, not like a DLC or a patch or something like later on, in year two of the game, maybe, but now it's got at least some semblance of multiplayer support, not necessarily PvP or anything like that, but like, now I can play my character, you can play your character, and we do the turn-based combat against the monsters, and it seems like it would be, not difficult to do, but like once they get the multiplayer infrastructure in there,
right.
Implementing all the turn, all the other stuff would be great.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, for Neverwinter Nights, which came out at single player, it wasn't that difficult to do the switch over. And they talked about that down the road, that multiplayer would be something it would do. But they want to do this first and get it right.
Sure. No. I 100% want a single player Starfinder video game out there.
So
especially like, pretty excited. One like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we'll hear more about it later once it's on early access. Maybe one of you backed it so you can play it and let us know what's going on.
For sure. And last year when Starfield came out, we were talking about other games that were kind of related.
Right,
You have any thoughts on
it? I was thinking that, I was thinking that while we're waiting for this to come out, and waiting for it to come out in early access even, waiting for it to come out in full, 2027 is 2 years away. Dear Lord, that's too long. That's fine. But there's lots of games out there that you can play right now. And I just want to put it out there. These are mostly games that I have played myself, so they have my endorsement. We'll start with the honorable mentions first, and then I'll do like maybe a top 4 or 5 or something like that. Okay. Honorable mention number 1 is, of course, the Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader game. I haven't played this one, so that's why it's honorable mention. But it's Owlcat doing Warhammer 40K, Rogue Traders, your space stuff, and it's got the science and magic. It doesn't have the same tone as Starfinder, which is a lot more light, obviously, because it's Warhammer, right? So if you want to play a Warhammer game, it's a role-playing game, check that one out. There's also Marvel's Guardians. I think it's just called Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't remember if it has the word Marvel in front of it. But there was a Guardians of the Galaxy game Okay, good. There was like a couple, there's like two Guardians of the Galaxy games, I think. There's one that's like more of story-based, but then there's the one that came out more recently-ish that is a little more action-y. And by all accounts, that's a good game too, from what I've heard, but it's definitely got the that vibe of this kind of thing. So we'll do those as my... hold on. What if I leave that with honorable mention? What does that leave me here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. We'll do one more honorable mention. We'll do this one because it's not quite in the way. Everyone who plays and enjoys Starfinder probably enjoys mechs in some fashion. That's what I've learned over the years. Yeah. People love mechs. I want to do mechs games. Now, there are plenty of mech games out there, your Mech Warriors and your Armored Cores and whatnot. I haven't played those. But for me, the mech game, this is 100% what my recommendation. The mech game out there is called Into the Breach. It is turn-based. You have a squad of mechs. The maps are very, very small. It's kind of very gridded. And you're fighting against these insect aliens. And you're trying to save, you know, there's each little map has a little mission. You know, destroy the monsters or not. But the thing about it is that it's so tactical. It's so you have perfect information. You know what all your stuff is going to do when you do it. When I punch this bug, it's going to go backwards and then hit another bug, and that's going to cause the damage, right? And you know what the monsters are going to do on their next turn. So you're trying to stop them from smashing the train or the building that powers your mechs or whatever, right? Like, so it comes down to that. And it's just like, it's just little bite-sized little tactic things that are just so good. And there's like all kinds of different weird mech teams, like ones that are really based on flamethrowers and stuff like that. And one that's kind of got a weird kind of like judo vibe where you're picking up the big bugs and flipping them over and moving them around. So you flip them and then they put them in the way of a beam that's going to shoot, you know, from right. the other guy, or you can use the monsters to hurt each other by, like, because you have that perfect information, smash them in. Oh, now you're gonna, instead of attacking the building, you're gonna attack your friend, and they bunch each other up. Pretty good, very good. You can play it over and over and over again. I've played it a bunch. I don't know why it's an honorable mention. It's just that it's not so very role playing gamey, I would say.
Right.
And it doesn't have that much, it's not like magic or anything like that. Final honorable mention is FTL. Faster Than Light. Yeah. That is a game that is about flying a spaceship and all the things that can go wrong while you're flying your spaceship. It is fully real time. It's very stressful. And it's all sort of pixel graphics, and you just sort of like making decisions as you go along too, right. Like where, you know, right. which way you're going to go. And then when you come across a planet, do you land there real quick and check it out? You can get like weird crew members, and get those around and assign them to, you know, weapons or engineering or whatever. I don't think I've ever beaten it because it's kind of like a roguelike where you start over again if you fail. Good one. All right, so now we'll call it top five. Yes. Number five. This is going, I don't know, when any some order. Number five, I'm gonna come out with Deep Rock Galactic. Now there's two kind of, there's a sort of the main game and Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, which is a new sort of survivors game. It's pretty recent. But that is a space game where you're dwarves. So there you go. Doing mining and shooting bugs and it's a job game where you have a mission to get it done. And it's kind of, I guess, a little dystopic in the fact that you're working for this company that doesn't really care if you live or die. And you get to, you know, in between drink beer at the base. It's fun. I you know, you have one of four classes. You could be the digger, you know, the driller or the mechanic or whatever. Right. I really enjoy playing that with friends. That's a good multiplayer game for sure. The new one, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, is a single player game, but it is kind of this, you know, this one's more that Deep Rock Galactic's still first person. This one's the isometric survivor style where you're just firing bullets everywhere all the time. Good stuff. Number four is, of course, Dead Space and all the Dead Spaces. Dead Space has kind of had a little bit of a influence on Starfinder for sure. Right. Some of the earlier monsters are kind of Dead Space thing. Very good, very creepy. Kind of over the shoulder third person shooter where you got to shoot their limbs off to kill the monsters and everything. It's kind of zombies, kind of space station horror.
Right.
Very good, very creepy. It's something to play now if you haven't played it already. It's an old, older game. That's the one that's been out a bit. Let's see. Number three. Which one am I going to put down as number three? It's just one of them is so good. All right. The Outer Wilds. The Outer Wilds is a weird first-person exploration puzzle type game. A mystery game, I would call it, actually. You have a spaceship, and you fly it around in this tiny galaxy. Oh, no. You have a flight around in this tiny galaxy, and you know you're sort of like, oh, you need to go there, and you fly, and you have the you have your control of your spaceship, and it's got the gravity you have to deal with, and whatnot. But every 12 minutes, the sun goes supernova. Wow. And so you have 12 minutes to solve the mystery of why the sun is going supernova, and at the end of that 12 minutes, time resets, and you're back at your
Groundhog Day. Yeah, okay.
It's very Groundhog Day. Very mysterious, very weird. Lots of like you can fall in a black hole and get sucked all the way to the outside of the galaxy, and you're just sort of stuck there next to a wreck. But you've got to go do a bunch of that stuff to get information. And once you have that information, you know that information. Like, oh, now I know the code to get through this door on this planet, so I can just go there right away instead of having to spend 10 minutes trying to figure out what this code is. Right. But at the moment, now that opens up more things, getting you more information. You're learning about the progenitors that made the galaxy or whatever. I won't spoil what happens because I honestly don't remember. It's been a while since I played that one, but it's very good. Very, very much critically lauded, I would say. Number two is Citizen Sleeper 1 and 2. It's a story-based narrative game where you are this basically an android who wakes up and needs to sort of like, and is the body's deteriorating, your body's deteriorating. You've got to like keep up with food and medicine to keep yourself from deteriorating. And there's like corporations out there in the Outer Rim that are like hunting you because you've gone rogue kind of thing. It is, I think role-playing, people who like role-playing games will enjoy this one because it has a very role-playing game feel to it. You roll a bunch of dice at the beginning of the day. These are six-sided dice though. And then you kind of assign them to your actions, and the higher the die, the better the action is. You have a couple stats too that can affect the die, and it's like, you know, what do I spend my ones on when I roll them every day? Or do I just like not use them and just go to sleep and whatnot? The first one's great. The second one came out earlier this year, also great. And that one, you have a kind of a crew and you're doing jobs on a starship, so it kind of has that kind of Starfinder-y kind of feel to it. And finally, I think my number one would be Outer Worlds, which is different from The Outer Wilds. Outer Worlds, it just feels very Starfinder to me. It's a first-person role-playing game, like Fallout, like Starfield it was, but it's very, it's not dystopian exactly, but it is. It's like corporate dystopia where you're sent out there to sort of like, you know, I don't know if I remember you crash land at the beginning of the first game or whatever. Anyway, but you know, you get weird fun weapons that like, you know, make people's heads get big, or, you know, just electricity and guns. So it has that feel of like modding weapons that you can kind of have in Starfinder, that I thought was very fun. And the sequel to that one comes out this month. So that's why it's my number one pick. Cool. Yeah. So go check it out. Maybe if you're into that kind of thing. All right, those are my recs.
I have not played any of those.
I could have come up with like four or five more, yeah. But I narrowed it down to 12 or whatever it was.
No Star Wars games at all.
Those are fair enough. If you like Star Wars, I say go out there, play Jedi Survivor. It is the Dark Souls of Star Wars. It's very good. Story's great. Lots of fun action pieces, set pieces. I enjoyed the heck out of them. I haven't played Star Wars Outlaws yet, but that's kind of on my list.
I was looking, that's on my list as well. And I'm a big fan of The Expanse. I don't know if you've watched that series at all.
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, it is. It's really hard science. You know, not a lot of fantasy in there. And I enjoyed it a lot. It's really, really great writing and acting in the series. But they have The Expanse, Osiris Reborn, a game that's coming out. It's under development right now by Alcat.
Yeah.
And that's one
I'm doing. Yeah, that next.
Yeah, that's one I'm definitely looking forward to as well. And I think, you know, it'll definitely have a different flavor than Afterlight, you know.
Oh, sure. Yes. I mean, it's going to be more hard sci-fi and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. More serious stuff.
Yeah. Definitely that. Do I have anything fun on my coming up wish list that it might be Starfinder? Not really.
Well, you know, it's interesting that there's so much out there in the video game space for space fantasy, you know, RPGs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sci-fi is a big, you know, genre for video games because people like, I think people kind of associate the two in a lot of ways.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of fantasy video games out there for sure, but like sci-fi feels like every, like you're just talking about Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, nearly, I don't know, like 75% of all really old school computer RPGs do that. All of the Might and Magic games end up on a spaceship and you're fighting robots at the end. I think Wizardry does that at one point. There's some sci-fi stuff that sort of bops in there, and Ultima maybe even, I think so. But like, yeah, it just, it's a classic thing. I think there might even be an Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, like SSI game out, old one. Did they do it, that one, or did they just stick with like Pool of Radiance and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't recall that. I remember Pool of Radiance and a couple others.
Yeah. I might be making that one up.
Yeah. Well, because I think they were doing like Forgotten Realms stuff, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and Expedition to the Barrier Peaks wouldn't have been.
Was not Forgotten Realms? Okay.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, that's all the news on Afterlight that we have. I'm sure there'll be more coming out. And then, you know, in the meantime, Jason's recommendations there is, man, if you could find all those, games. That would keep you very busy.
Yes. I think all of those are on Steam. So, you know, go or wherever you get your video games from, go check them out.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm John.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.